Welcome, welcome, Sir Maris. It's great to see you, whether you're a regular here or a visitor from the church planting course. It's marvellous for me, in the late autumn of my ordained life, to look out and see the future of the Church of England. I mean, it's utterly inspiring. And how wonderful you're here. And thank you, Will and the band, for leading us in worship. Couple of notices. Firstly, Greg, do you want to come and talk about something you're doing for us?
Hello and welcome. there is this thing called Lent coming up that you may or may not know about. And we were trying to work, a lot of churches run Lent courses, but what does a Lent course for a church like this look like? And what we've come up with is a series of tweets. So every weekday, Monday to Friday through Lent, starting on Ash Wednesday, there'll be a tweet. It'll point you to a reading in Mark's Gospel, and there'll be a prayer sort of reflecting on the heart of that reading. And so that's something, you know, and through Lent we'll get through the whole of Mark. So if you don't follow us on Twitter, at St. Mags Lothbury, but do follow us and join in.
Hallelujah.
Jeremy, I've decided I'm not going to preach today. those of you who have been with us for the last month might know that Greg, the curate, set the sermon series of looking at Daniel 1. We're kind of coming to the end of that. And when Daniel sent out a note about today's theme, as you're about to see as we read this passage from Daniel, that there's quite a lot about knowledge and wisdom and understanding. But Greg also then sent another very helpful note and said, you might also want to refer to James 1, okay, because that really addresses the issue of God-given wisdom. So please feel free to read along, but don't. Relax. Chill out. I'm going to read, okay? Because we're going to jump between the two passages. So let's just look at Daniel 1 first. To these four men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked to them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters and gurus. See, I just threw that in, picking up on, yeah, in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Then looking forward to James 1, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Those who doubt should not think they will receive anything from the Lord. They are double-minded and unstable in all that they do. Well, the Daniel passage, as we've seen, and those of you, if you just read that chapter, you'll see that that is very much a God-given wisdom through faithful following by Daniel and his friends. And I think you'd agree that as I read the James passage, it starts out really well, doesn't it? Then it all starts to go just a little bit pear-shaped. James says that when we ask God for wisdom, he's generous. He'll give it, no problem. But if we have doubts, we're like that wave on the sea, just being blown about. And I really like this bit. That person says James shouldn't expect to receive anything from God. So I found that a great encouragement, because I don't know about you, but every time I pray, it's absolute 100% no doubt, you know, just absolute conviction. So I said, I think I'm one of those guys who's probably not going to get any wisdom from God. But then I was thinking, well, you know, God knows that I'm a helpless case. And James, inspired by God, would know that I'm a helpless case. So is it possible that I've not understood James correctly? You see, when I first read it, I thought God was saying, I'm not going to give you anything because you have doubts when you pray. But I don't think that's what James is saying at all. James is saying when you pray, don't forget who you are praying to. You are praying to the creator of heaven and earth, okay? You are praying to the beginning and to the end, the source of all things, the one for whom nothing is impossible. You see, it's one thing to have some doubts and hesitations about what we're asking in our prayers, but it's quite another thing to have doubts about the one that we're praying to. And guys, if you think about it, if we doubt God's capabilities, right? If we think there are certain aspects of his job spec that he's simply not up to, I mean, then why are we praying? I mean, we might as well put our faith, I don't know, in tea leaves or horoscopes. So what is it that makes us hesitant in our prayers? What are we afraid of? Because if we believe that Jesus is truly who he says he is, then surely we're able to pray boldly and with confidence, right? So let me just remind you of two fundamental truths. The first one is this: in all things we look to Jesus. He's the one that knows the truth about our lives, and we can trust him. Think about it. Can we seriously imagine that Jesus is Lord if he isn't also smart? If he's divine, would he be stupid or would he be uninformed? Guys, Jesus is the best informed, most intelligent person of all, the smartest man who has ever lived. And I think it's safe to say he's the kind of guy you could go to for some advice. And the second truth is this: we should accept Jesus' advice, because neither you nor I can conceive of a better plan for our lives than God's plan for our lives. So Jesus is wise and we ought to follow his advice. And I mean, that's really easy, isn't it? No problem. But in reality, if you're like me, how many times do you say, God, please just show me the way? God, I could really use some direction. God, I would be so grateful if you would tell me what to do. And in response, looking around this room, I suspect some of you get really clear pictures and images, almost like the supernatural. And I say, if that is you, wow, fantastic. And if it's not too much, I'd really like to get a selfie with you before you go. Because, I mean, that's great, and I also hate you. But for some of us, where it isn't always that clear, it can sometimes seem like I'm saying, God, I'd love some wisdom and some direction. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of sitting there in stunned silence. God, so what do we do in those situations? Well, I'd like to suggest to you that the first thing that we do is that we continue to pray. You don't stop, you continue to pray. And when we pray, what do? We pray boldly because we remember who it is that we are praying to. It's not the inadequacies and the weaknesses of our prayers. It's the power of the one that we are praying to. Ephesians 3 tells us that we pray to the God who is able to do immeasurably more than anything that we can ask or can imagine. That's who we're praying to. The second thing we're going to do is we're not going to allow ourselves to fall into fatalistic faith. That's the kind of faith that sort of says, well, if the Lord wills it, you know, he will do it. Because in that kind of faith, we don't have to do anything. It's all in God's hands. Friends, that's nonsense. In seeking God's wisdom, nothing precludes us from taking the first step. So if you're saying, God, give me wisdom, God, show me the way to go. How am I going to handle this situation? I'm going to point you to something. It's called Google Maps. Think about it, that app on your phone. This is a true story. Last night, I took my child bride to the theater. Late Christmas present. We come out of the tube, and I put in the address of the theater. Okay, it shows me where to go. You've done that, right? And that little arrow pops up, and I'm standing there. I'm going, well, do I go left, or do I go right, or... Do you know what I mean? You're getting oriented and saying, which way do I go? The only thing to do is to take the first step, right? And once you start to go, the arrow starts to point, you see where it is, and God is like that. He'll show us the way to go, but sometimes we've got to take the first step, because if you're standing at the tube station hoping that the gradual rotation of the earth will bring you to your destination, it ain't going to work. You got to take the first step. And if I can just go further on the Google Maps analogy, sometimes it shows you more than one route, right? And if you think about which of those routes is the route that God would have me take, I want to just paint another picture for you. I'm full of pictures today. There's a picture that I just want to share with you. Imagine in the Middle East, you've got a father and a son at opposite ends of a great huge loom. And the father has drawn this wonderful pattern, this wonderful path and design for the completion of this rug that they're going to weave. And they begin to weave together. And the son is following the father's path and pattern. But then he gets a little bit distracted and he goes off a bit. Continues on that path. Then maybe he gets a little bit tired and he goes off. What's the father doing? The father is with the son and he's following the son's pattern. And he goes with him. And you know what you get at the end? You get a thing of beauty and of perfection, although it may not have followed the original path. You see, it's okay to make mistakes. We needn't be fearful, but if we truly desire to have God's wisdom, to know his plan for our lives, then we need to trust him and we need to act. So be bold. You want God's wisdom? You want the wisdom of Daniel and his friends? Ask for it and take the first step. Amen? Amen. Thank you.